Best thing that's ever happened to you financially. Go.
Easy. Sold my car on Carvana. Amazing offer.
Really? I hit 200 on the scratcher.
Did the scratcher come to your house and hand you a check?
No.
How many scratchers did you hit to get that? I hit a button on Carvana.com once.
Okay, that's fair.
It's like the lottery, except you always win.
Not like the lottery at all, actually.
Exactly. Inexplicably good. Offers worth bragging about. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Yes, 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 yes.
Open, 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 love, love.
Yes, 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 and welcome back to the Peace Love Nation podcast, the place where we explore who we are, why we're here, and how do we bring more peace and love in our lives and into the world. Today's conversation is going to be very powerful because of our incredible special guest. Whether you believe in energy or not, you can feel it. You can feel it when someone walks into the room. You can feel it when something is off, when, you know, you feel blocked up or stressed or disconnected. But what if there was a map, an ancient map, that helped us understand how our mind, body, our emotions, and our spirit all connect? Well, today we're diving into that map. Our guest today is one of the world's leading voices of human transformation through ancient yogic practice, life force energy, and the chakra system. She's the legendary chakra teacher and psychotherapist of this era. Please join me in welcoming Anadia Judith to the Peace Love Nation podcast. Anadia, welcome.
Thank you, Eris. I'm so pleased to be here. I'm glad we could finally work this out.
I'm so grateful you're here with us today and we were able to get it going. It's great. Yeah. And so if you don't mind, I'd love to give a short introduction, because for those unfamiliar with your work, and I'm going to miss a whole bunch of stuff, but, you know, you're a renowned author, a master class yoga and spiritual teacher, a somatic therapist. You hold a PhD in advanced degrees in psychology and mind body health, and have spent decades integrating Western clinical psychology with chakra energy and spirituality to provide practical tools for personal growth, healing, and transformational manifestation. And if I had this right, you've sold over 1 million books and DVDs on chakra and energy and medicine. Is that correct?
Oh, at least. I mean, I passed that a while ago, so I don't know what it is now, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're best known for when I found you, it was really through Wheels of Life. Wheels of Life was really, I think, the thing that really introduced me to your work, A User's Guide to the Chakra System.
Yeah, that was my very first book.
Yeah. And thank you. You know, when I came and took your course, you signed it for me, which I was very grateful for. So I just want to jump into it. You know, you're the goat as far as I'm concerned when it comes to the chakra system and energy system and how it all works and how our bodies work. And so I want to ask you, like, just sort of take a step back, you know, before the books, you know, before the teachings and before you became this global voice in this space, you know, who were you? You know, what first pulled you into exploring consciousness and the chakra system? What was a defining moment where you realized this is my life's work?
Well, you know, I described this in the beginning of Wheels of Life in the preface, that back in 1975, I had this little artist attic apartment, and I had a sheepskin rug, and that's where I did my meditation every day. And one day while I was meditating, I had an out-of-body experience, the only one I've ever had in my life. Had never had one before that, haven't had it since. And I was rising up above my body, and I could look down and see myself sitting there in, you know, cross-legged in meditation position. And there was a book on my lap, and it was called The Chakra System, which later I did a Sounds True thing called The Chakra System, and it was written by me. And so I went, oh, I'm supposed to write a book about the chakras. And then I was back in my body, and I'd gotten the message, and I was all set to go. I live in California. I was all set to go to New York and go to art school. And I completely changed course and started writing the book, and the rest is history. And that book came out in 1987, so it's almost 40 years.
Wow. Wow. And so for people who are hearing this for the first time or seeing this for the first time, what are the chakras? Like what, you know, in plain English, best you can, you know, when we say energy centers, you know, what does that actually mean?
Right.
What is energy and how does it all connect and how is it a part of our lives?
Yeah. Well, those are a lot of big questions and I'll kind of tease it apart for you. Because, you know, chakra is the word from Sanskrit, means wheel or disc. So they're swirling vortices of energy in the body. You can think of them as organs in the energy body, like your heart and your stomach are organs in the physical body. But I have a particular definition, which is chakras are organizational centers for the receiving, the assimilating, the storage, and the expression of life force energy. And so what's energy? Energy is what makes us alive. Energy is what is holding you upright right now, what is operating your brain, what is being fed by your breath, by the light in the room, by the conversation we're having. Energy is what everything is made of, and we're made of energy in a physical form. And that energy is organized in different ways. And just like your desk might be an organizational center for the work you do, and a shop might be the organizational center for someone that, you know, buys goods and sells them, these are organizational centers that operate on different levels of reality, you know, whether it's about mind or about emotion or about your physicality or about communication. Each one receives, assimilates, stores, and expresses on that particular level. So, for instance, you take a breath in, you're receiving breath, and you're assimilating that breath. Your heart is beating it through your bloodstream and feeding your cells. And then I could hold my breath if I want and store it. And then I exhale and I'm exhaling that breath back out. So you're hearing words right now. You'll be speaking to me in a moment. So you're receiving my words, you're assimilating them. Then you're going to speak back to me and express. So we're doing this on each of the chakra levels all the time.
That's a lot going on.
Yeah,
sounds cool.
And when you have seven of them, it gets very complex.
Especially when you think of like just the complexity of the body itself and all the millions of calculations going on without our effort or, you know, knowing what's going on. And then on top of it, you have all these energy centers that are filtering all this energy coming in into your body and going through your body and relating to one another. It can sometimes feel overwhelming a little bit, you know, like, you know, what can people sort of take away? You know, because you have the main seven energy centers, correct, in your body. And so, you know, how do they relate to one another and what's their goal?
Yeah. So the main seven energy centers, and of course, there's different systems that talk about different numbers of chakras. I like the basic seven. That's the way it came down to me. And I think that kind of covers the ground. It maps on to the nerve ganglia branching out from the spinal column. So there is a little bundle of nerves for each chakra. So that nerve ganglia gets activated when you feel an emotion, you get triggered, for example, you know, your emotional neuron down there in your guts gets activated and all of a sudden you're running some energy. You know, we all experience that when we get triggered. It's like, boom, suddenly we're all energized. We're angry or we're scared or we're crying or, you know, whatever. So the life force can take so many different forms. And you're right, it's happening unconsciously at a very complex level, just like your heart is beating and your food is digesting and your brain cells are firing and all that, really beneath the level of your awareness. You don't think about your heart beating unless it feels off. In the same way, we don't really think about how our energy is running unless it feels off. You know, and then if you feel tired or unable to function in a particular area or poorly function in an area of your life, like relationships or money or emotions, then you can go back to this map of the chakra system and say, oh, okay, well, maybe that's my third chakra and how it's, you know, not functioning the way it should. So, you know, you ask, what is the purpose? The purpose is to give us a map to navigate life. and a way of diagnosing ourselves. And, you know, in many ways, it's like what Carl Jung called an archetype of wholeness, that we all need an archetype of wholeness to guide us in our lives. And mine has been the chakra system. For someone else, it might be the Tao. You know, for someone else, it might be, you know, Christianity. It might be, you know, Buddhist meditation. Mine is the chakra system because it's very holistic.
I think most people focus on the heart chakra, I think more than anything else, probably, right? What would you say?
Well, the heart chakra is the middle of a system of seven. We have three chakras above and three below. So the heart chakra is the great integrator of above and below.
So here on the channel, we talk a lot about peace and love and how we get peace and love in our lives. You know, tell us about what area of that. Is it just like, you know, if you were to look at the heart chakra, is it the goal of the heart chakra to help that to get peace and love in your life? Or is it sort of all of them working together? You know, and my question really is around love, because I really want to understand, what is love and how does that relate to the chakras?
Yeah. So love is, well, it's so hard to define. I mean, we all know what it is on some level, and it's very hard to actually define, but it is, you know, all of the chakras are run by consciousness. You can become conscious of your emotions. You can become conscious of what you say. You can become conscious of what you think. Love is a kind of consciousness that is oriented toward connection, understanding, toward relationship, really. And to me, it is a kind of, I see it as a principle of the universe, like gravity is a principle. And it is the principle that draws things into relationship and holds them in relationship. And things will stay in relationship if that relationship is balanced, if it is positive, if it is mutually enhancing. You know, if only one person is being enhanced by the relationship and the other one's being drained, that relationship is less likely to last. So, you know, what we have in the universe is this balance, you know, the planets going around the sun, that centrifugal force that would make them fall into the sun and the centripetal that would make them go out to space are perfectly balanced. So they stay in orbit, you know, they stay in this relationship with each other. So love is that principle that draws us into relationship and draws everything into relationship. I mean, all of nature outside your window is a myriad complexity of relationships, the bugs and the worms and the birds and the mosquitoes and the sun and the rain and the microbes in the soil that help the trees grow. I mean, it's a very complex set of relationships. So I feel like love is that consciousness of our embeddedness in relationship.
Mm. And there's so many different layers to love. I mean, people, you know, when you talk to people about love at first, they think sexual love, like there's so many layers, you know, there's different kinds of love that we sort of can experience as well. And at the same time, you know, I find that it's hard for people to really struggle to truly open their hearts, you know, to really express themselves. Why is it so difficult for us to do that? Why isn't that the natural way of us? Why isn't that part of the natural part of our being and not the struggle?
Right. That's such a great question, because I believe that love is the natural state of things. So if it is, why is it so hard for us? Because we have wounds. We have wounds from our childhood that said we weren't good enough and so we're not lovable, or we didn't do it right, or, you know, we can't love the wrong person who's the wrong gender, or we can't, you know, there's some reason. And really, it's that fear, because love is so necessary, it is so basic, that we are really terrified of losing it. And we will do anything to protect ourselves. But the thing is, that very protection keeps us from having the deep intimacy and connection that we long for.
Mm-hmm. It blocks us. It's funny because it kind of, it gets created, right? So that's one thing I learned from you in your class so deeply was shadow work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the importance of understanding that these things were there to protect you, were created to protect you during, you know, this situation or scenario or trauma or whatever it is, right? And something's really opened my eyes about what blocks the heart, right? Because we, like, I think someone said to me, one of my interviews was that, you know, we're influenced from the womb. Mm-hmm. You know, the energy that we get from the mother, from the situation around her that she's dealing with affects us. And, you know, we're already born with certain things that already put us in a direction, you know.
And those first moments when we're born, the bonding is so important because that tells the nervous system that you're safe. Mm-hmm. And if you might have a perfectly good mother, but maybe there's something wrong at the birth and they wheel you away to the ICU and you're, you know, in a little glass case because you were born prematurely or something and has nothing to do with that the mother doesn't love you. There's a medical emergency, but that's a trauma and the nervous system doesn't get the message, I'm okay.
Right. And then it creates the scenario where you get closed up, right? You start to shy away from being open and being, you know, someone who's compassionate to someone who's really guarded.
Yeah.
You know, depending on what your situation is.
And if I take it back to the chakras are gateways. Well, the chakras are energy centers in the body, but they're also places where the outside comes in and the inside comes out. Right? It's where we exchange energy. You know, my insides are coming out as I talk, and the outside that I see you on my screen is coming in. So they're exchanges of energy. And when we defend ourselves, when we create blockages to create what's inside, a safety for what's inside, it's like, oh, I'm not going to let you in because I don't feel safe, then we... that each of the chakras can create a kind of gateway that blocks the inside and outside from flowing. Yeah. So it's not just top and bottom, up and down that are flowing, like from heaven and the cosmic intelligence down to earth and the body and vice versa. It's also between us that energy is flowing back and forth, depending on how much I can open different chakras and, you know, be in a free flow. And we're always modulating that energy and saying, oh, that doesn't feel like that's safe to let in, or I don't know if I'm okay. I better not let myself out. So I might be blocking to keep what's inside from coming out. You know, if I showed you who I really was, you wouldn't like me. Or it might be to keep the outside from coming in. Ooh, that feels toxic or unsafe. I'm not going to let it in. So then we create, you know, like fences. You know, we put up a fence, we put up a barrier, and then the energy doesn't flow from inside to outside and it gets unbalanced.
And then you feel like you have to create this, you know, brave and courageous effort just to fix things, you know, just to start to open things, to feel, to get open, to start to encourage yourself to get open and to feel compassion, to feel loving. It's tough. You have to have a lot of courage, don't you? You have to have a lot of determination to get that done.
It's like building a dam in a stream and then the water doesn't go through it. So you have to take these circuitous methods to get around the dam. Mm-hmm. But and then you think that's the way life is. You know,
that's really me. Yeah. Or that's really me.
Yeah. It actually isn't. But we are
discovering
normal.
The real you, right? So it's all about discovering the real you. So how do people start opening themselves or opening up the chakras to begin to discover their real selves?
Well, there's many methods, and that's the beauty of the chakra system. You know, you can work on it by visualization. You can work on it through yoga postures. You can work on it through psychological exploration. You can work on it through using the sounds associated with the chakras, the colors. There's many like different avenues in. My main technique that I teach, and I teach yoga and yoga for the chakras and all, and you experienced this in the class you took, is to generate and open the field of the flow of energy through the body. And so if I get you grounded and I get you pushing your feet into the earth and that energy from the earth is coming up your legs and into your body, that energy that is generated is going to push up against whatever blocks you have. And we all have them. And yours might be here and mine might be there and yours might be in this chakra and mine might be in that chakra. We're all different, but we all have blockages. And the charge, I call it the life force, the charge of that energy when it's increased will push up against the block and kind of light it up and say, here I am. And as it pushes up, actually what creates the block is the charge says, I want to get through. And the block says, oh, no, you don't. That's not safe. Or I don't know how to do that. Or I've never done that. Or my muscles are all locked up tight and I don't know how to open them. Or anything that comes up. So the more charge we get, the more it pushes up against the block and the more the block holds on until something lets go. And then when the charge gets a little bigger than the block, it bursts through. And that bursting through might be suddenly feeling an emotion that you haven't felt for a long time. It might be a sudden insight. It might be a feeling of warmth or tingling. It might be a change in posture, a change in the breath. There's a lot of different ways that it can show up when the energy moves through. But that is part of, that's a simple way of explaining how I work with it energetically.
And what would be your, I mean, I know this is generalizing because everybody has their own thing and their own chakras and their own, like, you know, energy, vibrational energy. And so, you know, it's hard to say, but what are some practical things people can start doing now if they're starting to feel, you know, disconnected from things and they're concerned about, you know, the direction which they're going in their lives? What can they do right now to begin balancing their energy?
Well, the first step is to notice energy. And this is a language and a kind of a dimension, if you will, that we're not taught about. We're not taught in school how to notice when our charge is up or notice when we're undercharged. And, you know, we don't have that language typically. And even when I work with clients, I have to teach them that language so then we can monitor the energy together. So it might look like, you know, you're telling me about something that's going on in your life. And as you talk, I'm watching, you know, and I'm noticing, oh, his eyes are fluttering. Maybe he's getting charged up here. Or I might notice, you know, your breath changes. And I'll say, where do you feel that in your body? You know, what do you feel in your body? Where do you feel the activation? And activation in our body, we're actually all familiar with it once it's pointed out. It might feel like a little rapid heartbeat. It might feel like sweaty palms. It might feel the way when you just had a strong cup of coffee. It's a little energy, you know. I feel it in my gut. My gut kind of gets tight and holds on in a way. Or my jaw gets tight. Those are things that I can feel in my own body. So the first step is learning to notice that. Instead of saying, oh, I'm feeling emotional right now, say, oh, I feel a charge right now. I feel a charge in my body. And if I'm working with someone therapeutically, I say, well, where do you feel that? Oh, I feel it in my heart area. Then I know it's the heart chakra. I feel it in my throat or I feel it in my belly. Where that charge goes is where there is a block. It'll find it like glue. You know, it's attracted to it. And so then I work with someone going, okay, so you're feeling the block. What are you doing internally, like muscularly? What are you doing in your thoughts to create that block? So let's say, you know, mine goes to my jaw and I get a tight jaw. So what am I doing to create that? Unconsciously, but what am I doing? I'm gripping my jaw. I'm clenching my teeth. Right. And if I can go into that and feel that, what else goes with that? Oh, when I do that, I notice my hands want to go like this. My shoulders come forward. Everything gets tight. That's kind of exaggerating that. And then I can feel, what am I doing to block it? Once you can feel that, you can gain some control over it. So then I take people into a gradual undoing of that response. And that allows the charge to come through in a way that is slow and manageable rather than, oh my God, I'm going to have a big outburst here. Yeah. It's sort of a little easier to flow into the tissues where it's been blocked.
Right. It's astounding. And when you have the relationships between the chakras, you know, where does that, you know, can they communicate to each other? You know, one thing I learned, at least in your class, was that, which was astounding, I didn't even know this, was that I was able to ask my heart chakra to talk to my, you know, my solar plexus chakra, you know, it's like, or my root chakra, to help to bring it some love.
Exactly.
And that is something I find astounding, that we have so much capability to just heal ourselves.
We really do. And what I believe fundamentally, Erez, is that within each person is a matrix that knows how to be whole and is trying to get there. And if I'm working with a client or a student, I don't know what wholeness looks like for you, right? I can't take my ideas of it and put it on you because you're a different person. But you know inside yourself, that charge is trying to take you to wholeness. And it's like, you know, a tomato seed. I'm a gardener, so I have a lot of gardening metaphors. You know, I put the tomato plant in the ground. I can't tell it how to make tomatoes. I don't know how it makes tomatoes. It's embedded within the seed. I just know that if I give it love and attention and water and good soil and sunshine and I prop it up with a stake, it's going to produce tomatoes.
Right. And we also can't sit there while it's like trying to get through the dirt and through all the all the ants and through all the things, the bugs trying to eat it and all the, you know, the rocks and stuff going, oh, come on, you can do it. Like, you know, no, it just does it, right? Like,
it just does
like how
it.
We just do it. Right.
Yeah.
Our own bodies can just do
it. Yeah. And so I believe fundamentally there's something trying to get to wholeness that exists within each person. And I am just the facilitator of that process by looking at what gets in the way. And, you know, if it's gardening, I go, oh, the tomato plant is falling over. It needs a stake. Or it looks a little dry. It needs some water. Or, you know, these leaves are a little yellow. It needs some fertilizer. I still can't tell it how to make tomatoes, but I can support its natural process. So as a therapist, as a teacher, that's what I'm trying to do, is give a structure that supports the natural process of unfolding into wholeness that I think is going on every minute within all of us.
That's beautiful.
And I'm helping people understand how that process is unfolding within them as a natural process that isn't about being wrong or bad or inferior or any of those things we carry around. It's just about, you know, this is what we did to survive, and now it's in our way.
And you speak about how we can use the chakras, about how we can use them to manifest things in our lives.
Yeah.
You know, talk about being more positive, you know, as opposed to just looking at the negative part, the trauma parts, or, you know, dealing with all that. But, you know, how do we use this wonderful energy that's in within our bodies to help us to get what we want in our lives?
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's intelligence that, you know, helps us discern it and get what we want in our lives. But the more whole we are, the more whole our lives become. You know, the inside reflects the outside, as within, so without. And so the more we work on ourselves and remove these blocks and mend the wounds that we carry from childhood, the more effective we are in the world, the more conscious we are, the more we're able to communicate, the more openly we're able to love. So everything is enhanced by freeing up the energy body. But the manifestation process is the downward current through the chakras, whereas most people think of the chakras as just this ladder that you climb up to get to the crown chakra of enlightenment. I don't see it that way. I see the chakras as a holistic system, and we need all the chakras all the time. But when you go up, I call that the current of liberation, where we get free of old patterns and limitations and things like that. We get liberated. The downward current, the current of manifestation, begins in our highest consciousness. And with a conception, an idea, oh, I want to create this, I want to build a house, and then brings it into vision. Well, what kind of house? I'm going to look at all the houses I see and see what I like and imagine where I want this house to be and what I want it to look out on. And then you talk to someone, you talk to an architect, and you say, here's what I want. And then you find the relationships. You got to have a relationship with the bank and a builder and the neighbors and, you know, the architect and many, many relationships. And then you have to do things. That's your third chakra. You got to make phone calls and you got to hammer nails and you got to carry wood and you bring things together. That's your second chakra. And you're bringing the wood and the cement and the windows and all that together until finally you have something manifested on the earth plane. And in that direction, your thought planes become denser and denser and denser as they go down until they reach the density of the physical world and manifest.
And is there, you know, when you're manifesting things, you know, people saying, you know, if you really want to, you know, manifest things in your life, you have to think positively. Is it really thinking positively, or is there something about something deeper happening in the energy system?
Oh, there's something deeper happening because, you know, when we teach the manifestation class, we teach people how to unblock each chakra as they come down. So when you're going in the downward path, what you encounter is resistance. So think of a comet coming from outer space. It goes through the vacuum of outer space, and then it hits the atmosphere, which is denser. Right? Starts to catch fire, goes through the atmosphere, it hits the ocean, which is denser than the atmosphere, and it goes down the water until it hits the earth, right? Mm-hmm. So in the same way, when you're trying to take your abstract thoughts into, well, visualize it, well, I don't know how to visualize it. I can't quite see it. There's resistance. Well, you've been thinking about it, let's talk about it. Oh, I don't know quite how to put it into words. There's resistance. You know, oh, I know how to talk about it, but I don't know who to do it with. You know, there's a little bit, and then you get down to third chakra. That's really where the resistance comes up. You mean I had to do things? You mean I got to get up early and, you know, make phone calls, or I've got to, you know, go to the gym or whatever it is you have to do? Oh, there's resistance there. And so it's working through that resistance so that the energy flows. And then creation becomes really ecstasy.
Mm.
Yeah.
How do we get there?
Yeah.
How do we get ecstasy?
Well, we get ecstasy. Creation is the nature of the universe. I mean, it's always creating itself. And it really, you know, when we start to create what we want and we start getting what we want, that's an ecstatic experience. You know, oh, it worked. And the more you clear the blocks, the more it manifests. You know, I think of the pictures we hold in our mind, in our mind's eye, like sixth chakra, which is about seeing, are like a stained glass window that consciousness shines through on its way to manifestation.
Hmm.
So let's say you have a stained glass window and the sun is shining through it. What's going to land on the wall is exactly what's in the window if nothing is in the way.
Hmm.
Right? So if it's a stained glass window of a tree, you're going to see the tree on the wall. But if you got a bunch of furniture in the way and people and, you know, curtains in the window, you're not going to see that. Right. So when we imagine if everything is clear and we don't hit our unworthiness and we don't hit our, I don't know how to do it, and we don't hit our, I'm too lazy, and we don't hit all those blockages, then what we are manifesting slowly percolates all the way down to the earth plane and becomes real.
Just blew my mind.
And that's my course, Creating on Purpose, and also a book by the same title, Creating on Purpose, that I wrote with Lion Goodman.
Yes. Yes, I just, I have that action. We'll start reading that soon too.
And it's a different one. And now I'm thinking of writing a book on, you know, bringing heaven back down to earth, which is applying the same manifestation to turn spirituality around. Everybody's seen spirituality as going up into the crown chakra and detaching and being in stillness and meditation, which has its value, of course. But to me, it's not really making the world better yet. We need to take that higher consciousness down and apply the chakra principles to a thriving society, which means it's guided by divine wisdom. It's guided by vision and beauty. You know, we create beauty in our lives. It's guided by truth and creativity. It's guided by love, of course. It's guided by people feeling empowered and feeling like their life is pleasure rather than pain, and health in the body, health in the environment. So those are sacred principles that are guides for creating a world of heaven on earth.
I love it. Amen. I'm there with you. And so how do people, you know, dealing with, you know, there's so much stress, conflict, division going on right now, and so much fear in humanity, the unknown. It's always been there, but, you know, how should people deal with it right now? Like, you know, you see a collective awakening happening? Is there more of a collective awakening happening than, you know, the, you know, all the troublemakers that are trying to, like, you know, the few handful of troublemakers, I would say, you know, there's always that we talk about balance, right? Where's the balance here?
Right. Well, I've been writing a series of articles on Substack called Making Sense of the Chaos, which is commenting on, you know, the political situation, the environmental, you know, the social situation in the world right now. As, you know, part of our rite of passage into planetary adulthood, you know, this is our initiating challenges, climate change, you know, financial inequity, inequality between people, political dysfunction, corruption, we know all the things that are going on, you know, anybody who reads the news. And the news is focusing on the world that is dying. And that's kind of natural because we're embedded in this world. But it's a distraction from really being able to see that there is a new world forming underneath, pushing the old tooth out, you know, and that tooth is getting wobbly and achy and sore because a new tooth is coming in. There's a new world rising. There's millions and millions of people in non-governmental organizations formed to address the environment, address the peace, address democracy, address equality, women's rights, you know, racial equality. I mean, you name it. There's organizations trying to do that. So there is really something. There's a new organizing principle rising. And I see it as a rite of passage from what I call the love of power, which is the social system we've been immersed in our lives and for the last really several millennia, where, you know, people vie for power and we worship those in power and they have power over everything else. That's an outdated system. Moving from the love of power to the power of love, which is moving energetically the center of gravity from third chakra as an organizing principle to the heart chakra as an organizing principle, to the power of love. And love as an organizing principle is based more on collaboration and cooperation, and let's work together instead of compete. You know, let's make compassion a fundamental value in our society, taking care of the ones that are left behind. That makes it better for everyone. And so love as an organizing principle is more than just a sentiment of falling in love with another person. It's really how the universe and how nature actually self-selects, you know, and keeps the intricate web of relationships going in a healthy way.
I take a deep breath on that one.
So I think this is sort of our rite of passage to that love of from the love of power to the power of love.
Right. No, you're right. I mean, I feel it too. There is an awakening happening and there is a change happening. Change is always happening.
Yeah.
And but some people really can't deal with that change. You know, it's fear sometimes. And it stops them from feeling this inner peace, this peace for themselves. To help people understand, what does true peace actually inner feel like in your body? You know, so they know that, oh, this is it.
Yeah. It's a balance. I mean, when things are in rapid change, they're unstable. That's just for the nature of it. Instability makes us want to go backwards and cling on to what we know. Well, I feel unstable, but once upon a time, this helped me get stabilized. So even though it's old and outdated, I'm going to do that. So what we really need to find that in ourselves with a kind of balance. And when things are balanced, they're not fighting each other. They're stable. That's more of a heart chakra aspect. Heart chakra is really about balance yeah. between above and below and inside and outside and spirit and matter and mind and body and you and me and male and female, you know, balance between all those things. When there's balance, there's peace.
You mentioned about this chaotic world, you know, when there's balance, there's peace.
And we don't have balance between men and women. We don't have balance between upper class and, you know, what we call lower class. We don't have, you know, there's people, the haves and the have nots. Right. You know, uprisings have always come from, you know, the people that, hey, I'm not getting my share. This is unfair. And they organize to do something about it.
Yeah.
It doesn't come from the top. The people who have don't say, hey, we need to do something about this situation by and large.
Right. They're happy the way it is.
Yeah. Because it's just, yeah.
What would you say is the biggest energy drain in modern life today?
Oh. You know, in many ways, I would say technology. And maybe I'm just speaking personally. You know, tech to me is like being in a traffic jam. I'm just going along doing something and then I hit a tech, you know, a password doesn't work or something that I,
right.
you know, and then suddenly I'm crawling like in a bumper to bumper, you know, traffic jam and I'm going very slow. And I think, you know, when I say tech, it's not only, it's our minds get drawn into it. The more we use a computer, the more sucked into it we get, you know, mm-hmm. so we're scrolling and we're, you know, reading and we pick up our phone to call someone and there's three headlines that just happened in the news and four texts from people that we haven't read yet. And so it's a constant distraction and fragmentation of yeah. our being. And yet we are completely dependent upon it in the culture at this time.
And it feels so overwhelming too. It's so important. It shows you why it's so important to do things like meditation and yoga yeah. and do things for the mind, the body to yeah. help to bring it back into balance after so much chaos is going on.
That's right. Life. That's right. Yeah. 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 Those are essential. And, you know, there was a book many years ago called High Tech, High Touch that the more we go into tech, the more we need touch, like massage or yoga or, you know, just touch between couples. You know, we need to be physically touched. We need the aspects of the body to balance out that high tech intellectual aspect.
Yeah. And what's one emotion that you find that people try to avoid the most but need the most?
I think it differs. The first thing that comes to mind is fear, and the second one is anger. And I think for women, it's more anger because we've been taught not to. And I think for both, fear really shuts us down. Fear is primal. Fear, I say, is the demon of the first chakra. And the first chakra developmental stage is like the first year of life. So it's when you're building your body. Fear physiologically makes you go into a response that tightens everything. Heightens awareness, but also, you know, tightens the muscles, restricts, you freeze. So I think fear is underlying and we live with it and it's normal to us, but I think it's there all the time and it gets triggered and it especially gets triggered by the news.
Mm, that's for sure. We don't talk politics here on this station, but on this channel, but there's no question there's a definite impact
yeah.
that it has on our daily lives.
Yeah. Yeah. And the news unequally focuses on all that's wrong because that grabs people's attention and is missing a lot of things that are right.
Right. I mean, it's magnifying all of the things that aren't really, really important in our lives.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
So what do you do? Like, what kind of powerful daily habit would you say that you've sort of clinged on to say, you know, for your own well-being that brings you to where you need to be for the day?
Well, for me, it's getting outside in nature. Mm. And I meditate every day. And I do yoga when I can, although as I've gotten older and more things hurt, I'm doing it a little less. But also just, you know, it's not meditation that just happens when you're on your cushion in the morning. It's a state of noticing, of being present. You know, what am I feeling? What's going on? What's the energy between us? What's the energy of this situation? And, you know, I have a meditation image that I give people in the crown chakra, which is the crown chakra is the thousand petaled lotus, and it's blooming out of the top of your head to imagine that. But that your awareness is the dimensionless point in the exact center of that lotus. So when you can do that and let everything unfold around you and you stay centered, not chasing after this or avoiding that, but you stay centered and let it unfold and then operate however you need to operate within that, be it a crisis or whatever, that's a way of managing a complex world.
How does that trauma show up in the body? Like, how does it get stored in the body? How does it stay stuck in the body? It's a lot. It's not just one or two different things. I mean, there's a lot of things we experience every day. I mean, the work that it has to do every day to filter things out and to move things around and also be blocked and protect you. And, you know, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. And most of it happens unconsciously, but it does steal energy. If you have a lot of unconscious blocks, they're stealing your energy. And you, like you say, you have to go around them. You have to rise above them. So, you know, how does trauma is a whole nother, that'd be a whole nother podcast. But when something negative happens to someone like a child, the fight or flight response gets stimulated. Oh, can I run away to safety or can I fight off whatever is happening? And usually a child is too young to be able to do either one. There's no place to run and they're too little to fight off. To fight their dad or whatever. And so that energy, instead of being spent in fight or flight, the life force energy that arises gets frozen. It goes fight, flight, ooh, and it gets frozen in a very high charged state. And that is the blockage that is created by trauma. And then it stays that way and the mind jumps over it and says, oh, well, that's just how I am. And I don't notice that anymore. And if I do, I can't do anything about it because it's all locked up tight and the key is thrown away. But there are ways to open that up and work with it.
Yes, as I've learned from you, I mean, you know, just doing some of that shadow work was so important for me to be able to know that you have, you're empowered. You're actually empowered. You, it's part of you. You know, you're like talking to yourself, right? Just like you're talking to your chakra. You're talking to the trauma. You're talking to the part that's been protecting you all these years, you know, even though it may create some kind of a side, you know, issue, you know, that you're still dealing with, you know, over and over again. So to be able to talk to it and to bring it out and to bring it, to share it with love and to bring it love and to let it know that it's okay and that it's loved. Because really, I think overall, in the end, that's what all of it comes out. You know, when I started to do the work, I realized it all came down to one thing. And that was, I just wanted love when I was growing up.
That's right. Yeah. And the little parts within you want love also. Your naughty little boy wants love. Your scared little boy wants love. Your lonely little boy wants love. You know, I mean, I'm just saying these things because they're in everybody. Right. But those little parts feel unloved because, oh, that was what didn't work for me. You know, oh, kittens tease me about being needy. So that's a bad thing, you know, and then you deny your own needs because it's not good to be needy. And so it's reclaiming those, and that's some of the work of the heart chakra, is reclaiming the parts of ourselves that have been rejected, you know, by our parents, by ourselves, and find out what energy they carry and reclaiming that energy with forgiveness and love. And yes, come back into my heart. You're okay.
you know, you're on this mission to heal the world. What would you say, as you know, if this was like sort of your parting message, what would you say to the world?
I would say to the world, we are on the cusp of an incredible breakthrough in our ability to create heaven on earth. You know, we have AI to help us. We have the technology. We have the science to cure diseases. We have everything we need. And we're looking in the wrong direction. You know, we're looking at war and competition and all of that. And we don't realize this opportunity that is before us as a planet right now to emerge into a kind of civilization that has never been seen before. Of, you know, a civilization where people don't have to work as much because AI can replace jobs, but we have to change our economy so that that's not a hardship. But we're on the verge of solving a lot of our problems. And we are at the same time on the verge of destroying ourselves. So we are at this point. It depends on which direction we're looking. So look toward the positive because that's what you get more of. Whatever your attention is, that's what you're calling more of. So don't believe the doom and gloom. That's just the dying world. There's something new, powerful and potent and beautiful growing in its place.
Beautiful. And where can people begin their journey with your work?
Well, my school is sacredcentersacademy.com, Sacred Centers Academy, and courses and my books are all there. And my personal website, which I sort of call my legacy website now that I'm kind of going into retirement, is anodeajudith.com, A-N-O-D-E-A-Judith.com.
Yeah, we'll make sure to put all that up on the description for the podcast as well so that they get a direct link to you and they can start their journey or connect with you if they really love what they're hearing. Anodea, thank you so much for being here with us, sharing your wisdom. It means so much.
Yeah, thank you. And thank the power gods that didn't shut off my power in the middle of the internet.
Yes.
We did it. We went for it and we did
it. Thank God.
Okay. Well, thank
that was
you.
Very powerful.
Next week, I'll be teaching the psychology of the chakras.
Oh, wonderful.
Which, of course, that you and your wife took. So,
yes, yeah. That was great.
My regards to her as well. And I'm glad we finally made this happen.
Thank you. Thank
you. All right.
That was very powerful. So, I just wanted to talk to everyone first to say, you know, one of the biggest things about you have to learn about peace and love, that peace isn't passive. Love, you know, isn't random, and transformation isn't accidental. Mm-hmm. There is a system inside of you, right? There's a energy inside of us. And when you understand it, like Anodea does, you can work with it. And if this conversation moves you, share it with someone, send it to someone who needs it. And most importantly, don't just consume this, live it. Practice awareness, practice love, practice compassion. Because when we transform ourselves, we transform the world. This is Peace Love Nation. Please subscribe to our channel. Come to peacelovenation.com. Get some of this great merchandise and spread the love. Help make this a more meaningful movement for all mankind. Peace out.
Yes, 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 yes.
Open, 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 open. Love, 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 love.
Queen Carvania stood haloed by the morning sun. An army hung on her every word.
My champions, I have sold my chariot on Carvana. 'Twas a lovely SUV, an inexplicably queenly offer. They're even coming to the castle to collect it. Tonight, we feast!
An offer you can feast on. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.